When I was at Bible school, I hated after lunch classes.
We are here, though.
We come to the study of the Word of God. There is one principle that is absolutely indispensable. Many things are helpful in the study of the Bible, but this principle is absolutely indispensable. Total reliance upon the Holy Spirit of God. Only God can open our hearts, can take this book and show us the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the Bible aids in the world cannot enable us in our heart of hearts to see with understanding, to enjoy, to lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's good when we come to this book, whether we come individually or whether we come corporately like we're doing here, to take a moment to bow before God and just ask Him to do what He delights to do, and that is fill the mouth that's opened wide. Let's bow before Him. Our Father, we would ask You to work in our hearts now that attitude of childlikeness, which is indispensable to receive Thy truth. We know that You have hidden these things from the wise and from the prudent, and You reveal them to babes. We would ask You to show us that we are a dry and thirsty ground, and then rain fresh water upon us. Thank You in advance that You're going to meet with us this afternoon, and in an ever-increasing tide of blessing throughout the remainder of this weekend. Because we come claiming it in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ and because He deserves it. Amen. We left off last time. We used a Bible illustration. I didn't call it a type. I don't know if God intended it or not. But at least in some ways there are some similarities to the fact that we as the people of God are His temple. He lives within us in somewhat the same way that He dwelled in the temple of old. And that we have within us a holy of holies, an inner sanctum, a precious place that God fills. And we took the article, the one piece of furniture that was in the Holy of Holies, and we ended up with this principle. Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ and because of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, God has made it possible that I can have supernatural fruit and rod. By feeding on Jesus Christ, the manna, as the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah glory cloud, reveals Him through the written word, the two tablets of stone. That's where we left off last time. Now, what I'd like to cover this afternoon, again, we're going to have a chart. This is better. About that chart. Okay. When I was first saved and went to Bible school, Moody Bible Institute, I got chart conscious, and I think I told you about that one time. And I made a chart, and my wife and I, we papered our wall with it, and it went from one side and all the way around to the other side. And I thought I had every little fact. I knew when everything was going to happen and when He was going to come back and the tribulation. I had it all. And I've gummed to this. What we're going to deal with now is really two parts, two articles that were inside the Ark of the Tabernacle. The tablets of stone symbolizing, I believe, the written word, this book. And the Shekinah glory cloud, the Holy Spirit as He interprets this book. Basically, that's what I want to touch on this afternoon. One of the most basic things you'll ever learn in your desire to be a man after God's own heart, is the place of this book in your life. The place of this book in my life. On the first step of my chart, I'm going to write the word God, because that's ultimate. God has given us a tremendous thing. The reason He's given us this tremendous thing, which we'll develop, is because God has on His heart, has always had on His heart, a desire to communicate Himself. And God wants to make Himself known, to manifest Himself. Now, we're starting from the other side, and we're saying, I want to know God. But the fact is, God wants to make Himself known to you far more than you want to know God. And in order to manifest Himself, He's given us Jesus, and He's called Him the Word. Now, I could prove that in a moment of time by quoting a couple of Bible verses, right? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Or Revelation 19, which talks about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 19:13 says, and He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. The Word of God. But just quoting a few verses doesn't really drive home the truth. Jesus is the Word. We all know that. We would all ascribe to that. Yes, Jesus is the Word. What does that mean? Have you ever received God's revelation of what it means that Jesus Christ is the Word? In order to drive this home, let me just take the word Word. What is a word? I think if we understand the word word, we might be able to apply it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a word is something that we vocalize in order to express a thought. You can't see my mind. I can't see your mind. I have a thought up here. I've been trying to communicate some of those thoughts. I've been using words. So you hear my word and you translate that word and you say, this is what he's thinking. Sometimes my words don't communicate my thoughts, and so you say what you think I was saying, but we're not communicating. A word. Let me give you a couple of illustrations of this. Now, first of all, the first illustration is obvious. I'm thinking of something right now. Devil dog's pad, thank you. I'm thinking of something right now. I really am. Could someone tell me what I'm thinking? See, there's no possibility. You need some kind of communication from me. I was thinking about my wife, Lily. Alright, what comes to your mind? Now, I'm going to give you a series of words. Just one word. What comes to your mind? The first word is person. Now, you thought of something. You might have thought of some individual that you know. There was something registered when I said person. I'm going to give another word. The second word is family. Now, picture something in your mind. Right, something came to your mind. Maybe it was your own family. Maybe it was somebody else's. Maybe it was just a group of people. The third word, neighborhood. See, you're thinking something. That word is communicating some thought that I have. The next word is town. Now, if you're following my train of thought, you have to be getting bigger. Person, family, neighborhood, town. The next word is city. You thinking? Were you with me? Wake up. State. Country. World. Universe. What came to your mind when I said universe? Think something. some mental picture, universe. I say, well, you're getting too big now. No, I'm not getting too big. The word was God. In the beginning was the Word. You thought universe was big. The Word was God. Now bring that down. Tell me everything about God. And that's what he wanted to do. That's what is on God's heart. God wants to communicate himself. And so he gave a word. Word was Christ. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, even as the only begotten of the... See what I'm saying? What do you mean that Jesus Christ is the Word? Jesus Christ is the Alpha, the Omega, God's communication, God's desire to tell you all that he is. I want to ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 1, please. Hebrews chapter 1. Listen to these marvelous verses. Verses 1 through 3. God, after he spoke long ago, let me say a word about the first. You ever hear the argument, who wrote Hebrews? Don't get into that silly thing. Who wrote Hebrews? When we write letters today, we sign love in Christ or whatever, Ed Miller. You sign your name at the end, but they didn't do that when they wrote these New Testament books. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, Peter to the saints, scattered to us, John, James, you start off. Well, when they got this letter, they opened it up as God who... Who wrote Hebrews? Anybody know? All right. God. Who said Paul? Man. Okay. Let's get... God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many ways, many portions, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, and then it goes on to brag on Jesus. All God is, God in these last days has spoken unto us in his Son, who is the exact exegesis, representation, all that God is in Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:9, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in bodily form. Matthew 11:27, Jesus said, no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And then he added, and whosoever the Son will reveal him. Jesus made a tremendous claim there. Being God, the Word became flesh, for those that can receive it. When God the Father sent his Son, he came himself. And being God, he knew all that there was to know about God. It's a word. That's why Revelation 1:8 says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the whole alphabet of God. Everything God ever wants to tell you is right in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus answered Philip in John 14:9, have I been with you so long, Philip? And yet you've not come to know me. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Just like he who has understood my word has understood my thought. If you can handle my word, you can handle my thought. If you see what I'm saying, then you understand my communication. Why do you say, show us the Father? There's nothing about God that's not communicated in the Word, the Lord Jesus. So I look at this and I say, boy, I sure appreciate this. That God wanted to communicate Himself, and so instead of just being silent and letting me grope around, He did in fact speak a word, and He brought it down to my level, and Christ became flesh and dwelt among. He's given me His communication. Now when you use the expression Word of God, the average person is not going to register, oh, you're talking about Jesus. When you say Word of God, they're going to register Bible. 66 books. 39:27. That's the Word of God. And that's a fact. Bible is the Word of God. Sometimes when you look in the Bible, it's clear. Luke 8:21. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. 1 Peter 1:23 says, we were born again by the Word of God. Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Luke 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In Hebrews, look at chapter 4, please. Verse 12. I'll ask you the question before we read the verse. In this verse, you have the expression, Word of God. Is this talking about the Bible or the Lord Jesus? The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the divisions of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There is no creature hidden from His sight. Is that the Bible or the Lord Jesus? Commentators are equally divided on that, but it's illustrating something. What do you mean when He says, Thy Word is true? Is that Christ? Is that this book? God says, now what? I want to communicate myself. And I've spoken a word, and the Word is my Son. Jesus is the Word. And everything you ever need to know about God is in Jesus. Look at Jesus, you'll see me. And I say, that's fine. Where is He? Gone. God's only communication to me is in His Son. And then He took Him away. Took Him off the earth. I want you to watch this because it's one of the most neglected truths in the Bible. Let's go back to the illustration. I'm going to say a word. One word. Universe. You want to tell me all about it? Show of hands. Explain everything about the universe. Come on, it's only one word. You ought to be able to handle that. Listen. That's one word, but it's too big. Please break it down for me. If you broke it down into little books, if you could tell me, give me a book about the stars, and a book about the animals, and a book about the fish, and a book about the plants. Tell me about the universe in little books. Give me words, because a word is not enough. Break it down for me. See, that's what God did. Being gracious as He was, He gave me a word, and I said, Lord, thank You. But I'm so dull. You gave me a word, universe. I can't handle it. You gave me Your Son, Jesus. But that isn't going to communicate to my heart. Lord, break it down for me. Give it to me, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, little A, little B, little C. Speak in words that I can understand. Tell me stories and give me pictures. Once upon a time in heaven, in the beginning, tell me stories. Show me object lessons. Give me types and give me... And so He said, all right. I will. I did. And it's called the Word of God. It's called the Word of God. Now, I don't mean to play with this when I tell you this. This is Jesus Christ on paper. This is the Word of God broken down in little stories so that I can understand the marvelous thing that God has done. Thousands of people know nothing of this. They come to this book, they study this book, they want theology, or they want doctrine, or they want creed, or they want to know, what is Romans all about? What's Titus all about? What's Obadiah all about? God didn't give you Obadiah so you might know Obadiah. And He didn't give you Romans so you'd know Romans, or Matthew so you'd know Matthew. He gave you Obadiah so you'd know Jesus. And He gave you Matthew so you'd know Jesus. And He gave you Titus so you'd know Jesus. He gave you every book in this Bible because this is His Son. And if you come to learn Matthew, you're going to miss it. And if you come for any other reason than for what God has done, He's broken this down on paper for you. And if, turn, please, to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians, rather, chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 15. To this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lays over their heart. It's not only talking about the old covenant, it's talking about when Moses is read, when this book is read. Whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Watch. When I come to this book, there is only one legitimate reason to come, and only one way to come. You talk about methods of Bible study. Any method of Bible study, I don't care how good it is, finding promises and finding commands and relating books and drawing lines, any method of Bible study that takes you away from this, there's only one purpose to come to this book, and that's to see the glory of the Lord. And if you don't come to see the glory of the Lord, knowledge puffeth up. Bible study leads to pride. I'm telling you, and it sounds radical to say, I'd rather see people not studying the book at all than studying it to build up their own pride because they have these facts and they can quote these verses and they know it and they know what Matthew's about and this theme and that theme and how to answer all these theological debates. God hasn't given us this book in order to scrap with other Christians about controversial issues. He's given us this book that He might, the burden on His heart is that you might know Him. And so He gave us a word, His Son. And it was too big. And in His grace He broke it down. And given us His Bible. There's no such thing as talking about looking to Christ and neglecting this book. There's very little difference because this is Christ in here. See? The Word of God. God's communication of Himself. Let me give a couple of illustrations of this. Gave you the one from Luke 24. How their hearts burned within them when they saw Christ in the book. Christ in the book. I'm going to ask you to turn to Exodus chapter 3, please. Exodus chapter 3. Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. Yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. why the bush is not burned up. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. Now, everybody preaches on the burning bush. This is not just another message. Again, here's an illustration from the burning bush. The burning bush was very much like this book. It had a physical side and it had a divine side. It was leaves and roots and bark and branches. As this is leather and ink and paper, the book. The Bible says that Moses saw. It's interesting. Just trace the word see and saw in those first. Moses saw the bush, the physical bush. Then he turned aside to see what he saw. When he saw there's a bush, but there's more than a bush. There's something divine. He had no word from God. He saw a book, a bush. He saw a bush. And then he saw something unique about the bush. So he turned aside to see what he saw. And then the next verse says, when God saw that he turned aside to see what he saw, God notices when you come to the book or when you come to the book. And when God saw that he turned aside to see what he saw, then God said, Moses, Moses, take off your shoes. Now you're on holy ground. And I suggest that if you just come to the book, you're not going to hear the word of God. He's not going to call your name. You're not going to take off your shoes, and it won't be holy ground. Oh, but if you say, Lord, I know there's beneath the sacred page I seek the Lord. That I know beyond the letters and the ink in this book, there's the thing that made that bush what it was, the presence of the Lord. And I want to see him. I'm going to ask you for another illustration to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. God had to do this at least one time for our instruction. And he did it in Peter's life. 2 Peter chapter 1. I've got to admit before I give you this that there's a lot of controversy over these verses. I'm not getting into all of that. I'll give you what I think it means. I'm giving you an illustration. If you disagree with it, scrap it. Let's get back to the original principle. Verse 16. We did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. What's he talking about there? Let me try to illustrate it for you. Peter, man of God, had a prophetic word. Jesus is coming again. That was the word that he had. He had it straight from the Bible. He had the word of God. He was thoroughly fundamental, Bible-believing, blood-bought, independent, Christ-centered, fundamental, orthodox. Jesus is coming again. How do you know? I know it because he said so. It's in the Bible. It's written. That settles it. It's written. He's coming again. I have the prophetic word. then God did something in his life to make the prophetic word more sure. Not more certain, because the word of God can't be made more certain, but more sure. And he gives a testimony. And the testimony is clearly about the Mount of Transfiguration. And he tells about that day that he was standing there. Jesus had said, there are some of you standing here that will not see death until you see the Son of Man coming in glory. And right after that, every time in the gospel record, you have the record of the transfiguration. And Peter understands what happened. And he said, that was an amazing day because we saw the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw in a moment of time the second coming. We saw it with our own eyes. We heard God's voice out of heaven. We saw Moses illustrating those dead in Christ, and Elijah, those illustrated, caught up with Christ, and we saw Christ in the middle, and he outshone the noonday sun. We saw the coming of Christ. He had the Word. And then he had a revelation of Jesus Christ, which made the Word more sure in his heart. And then he explains it. Verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure by a present revelation of Christ. That's my own addition. To which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. What's he saying? Oh. He said, we had the word of God. And so do you. And God gave us a present revelation of Jesus Christ, and that made us live. And so now you have this, and you do well to pay attention until the day star arises in your hearts. That's Christ. And he says, you pay attention to this book until God gives you a revelation of Jesus Christ. He's given us the Bible. That's a word from God. You know, I used to think that the last verses here, 20 and 21, were sort of out of place. Wonderful verses, but out of place here. There's, you got to see Christ in order to have this Word of God live. Now a word about inspiration. And then he throws that in, and it sort of didn't fit. But I think I know, one thing I think I know he's saying. He's calling attention to the one who inspired this book in the first place. And he says, you need a revelation of the revelation. It's just as much a miracle for God to open this book to you now as it was for him to inspire it in the first place. A mighty miracle of God when he gave us this Bible. And it's a mighty miracle of God every time he shows us the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you say, okay, Lord, I appreciate the fact that you want to communicate yourself. Boy, I missed a lot of pages. Appreciate the fact that you want to communicate yourself and you've given me a word. But Lord, that's too big. Break it down for me. And he says, okay, I'll give you the Bible in which you'll find the word through which you'll see God manifest to yourself. And I say, finally, thank you. And so I sit down and I say, here it is, God reduced to this, to stories, to illustrations, ABC. And then I begin to read it, man. I don't understand. That's just great. You want to communicate yourself? You've given me a word, you've broken it down, you've given me the Bible, and I sit down so happy because now I've got it in little stories. Then he walked down the water and he looked to Jesus and he said, that's so easy. I don't understand it. And I say, come on, Lord. I know you want to communicate yourself. And God said, all right. He says, I'll take another step. Put the only one who understands the Bible in your heart as your private Bible teacher. And he'll explain the Word of God to show you the Word of God so you might see the God of the Word. Let me ask you to turn, please, to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9 in 2 Corinthians 2. Right with you. As it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. We ask God reveal them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Who among man knows the thoughts of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. A natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they're spiritually appraised. Now, by the way, that expression, natural man there, doesn't necessarily refer to the unsaved. It's a man who's trusting his own nature to understand this book. He who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Spend forever on this tremendous passage. Let's break it down a little bit. Verse 11. Who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man who is in him? You do not have a spirit. You are a spirit. That's the real you. And that's why the spirit understands the mind, because the real you, the spirit of a man knows the mind of a man. If you had my spirit, you'd know my thoughts. If I had your spirit, I'd know your thoughts. Spirit is the real you. Now what? God has a spirit too. And that's the real Him. You follow me? And the spirit knows God because it's the real Him. That's what He's saying. If I had your spirit, I'd know your mind. If you had my spirit, you'd know my mind. We have the Spirit of God, so we have the mind of Christ. See what He's saying? And He's put that within us in order that we might understand. Look at verse 10. The Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Amazing. He knows all about God, and He wants to communicate Himself. I can't understand the simplest part of this book. Verse 9 and 10, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, which have not entered the heart of man, I can't possibly know them by human reasoning. God has revealed them through His Spirit. I'm going to ask a question. It's going to be the silliest question probably that you've ever heard. What's the Holy Spirit doing in my heart? I mean, what's His ministry? Why did He come in there? What's His job? John 14, 12 and 13. Many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. 14:14. He shall glorify me. He shall take of mine and shall disclose it unto you. Why do you think Paul prayed for the Ephesian Christians like this? that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. I want to know God. See, that I hope that's the bottom line here. I want to know God. And He's given me a word. Break it down. He's broken it down. He's given me a Bible. Lord, I'm still helpless when I come before this book. He's given me His Holy Spirit. And His Holy Spirit has a ministry. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God. Nowhere else. Always the Bible. Not to teach you the Bible. He hasn't called you to be scholars of this book. He's called you to see His Son in this book. He shows you Christ through the Word. And that's God's communication. And that's how you know God. Always the same. It's foolish to talk about knowing Christ and seeking Christ, having a hunger for Christ. God hasn't called you to be hungry for this book. Someone gets all upset. I'm not hungry for the Word of God. He hasn't called you to be hungry for the Word of God. Are you hungry for this? To know Him? And that's how to do it. He's given us His Word. He's given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit to interpret the Word, to show us Christ. We're going to get into Aaron Gerard, that brother. The next step after supper, how can I feed on Jesus Christ, the manna? I appreciate that He's put His Spirit here, that He's going to open the book, that He's going to show me Christ. But what does that mean? How can I feed on Jesus Christ? Right? That's next. And then the supernatural fruit. And we're done. Right? We go home and live happily ever after. Nothing is more clear in the Bible than this truth, that the Holy Spirit is going to reveal Jesus Christ through the Bible gradually, progressively, according to our needs, according to our capacity, according to the circumstances of our life, according to our desires. He's going to give us His Son. Galatians 4:19, Paul prayed that Christ might be formed in them. Genesis 6:3, follow on to know the Lord. And the word know there, if you read the context, Leah's wife failed to know Him in all the intimacies of the marriage relationship. Abraham knew his wife. That kind of know. Follow on to know the Lord in all the intimacies of the marriage relationship. Remember Daniel's stone in Daniel chapter 2? That stone that came out of heaven and it came down and it touched the toes of that tremendous image, crushed it. And then it began to grow and it became a hill and it became a mountain, and pretty soon it filled the whole earth. That's how Christ came into your heart. Way back there, He came down as a stone and He touched the kingdoms of your life. And they began to topple. And He began to grow and grow. Christ is formed in you. He grows and He develops. And He's expressed through your life. And His life becomes... Oh, it's marvelous. But if I just come to learn Genesis and how Genesis is related to the first book in the New Testament, Matthew, and six parallels between Genesis and Matthew... If you want to do that, you go ahead. I want to see the Lord. Us. When we come with an unveiled face, see the glory of the Lord, here's the wonderful part. We're transformed into that same image. One degree of glory to another. That's where Aaron's rod comes in. Well, we'll end here. The point I'm making this afternoon is simply this. That God has given us. Don't neglect this book, believers. God has given us His Word, Christ, His Word, this book, His Spirit, to show us Christ in the book to reveal God. We ought to bow before God and thank Him for that. Bow together. Father, we rejoice that we have within us Thy Spirit who searches the depths of God, the mind of Christ. Lord, You know all about Yourself. You know all about us. And You know how to put those two things together in a way that You've never done it before, Lord. Work it in our hearts that we might seek Christ through this book by the Holy Spirit. I give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.